I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, finding victory over my addiction to alcohol, still struggling with things like pride and selfishness and judgment, and my name is Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Hello. Let's see here. We are continuing on in our teaching series. If you're new with us, every other week, typically, we have a teaching from one of the 25 lessons that makes up the core curriculum of this ministry. You don't have to. The teachings are designed to be worked in order, and we do that in our step studies. Ladies are in one right now. Guys are in one right now. But when you come on a Thursday night and we do a teaching, you can come in at any time. And so wherever you are in your recovery walk, if it's your first night here, if you're just getting acclimated to this idea of recovery, hopefully you'll find this teaching has something for you, as well as for those of you that have been around for a while. And many times, just like a lot of things in life, we have, especially things we do in a routine. I mean, I talked about earlier about, I want you to come back. I want you to make this the best place to be on a Thursday night, which means you need to keep coming back. Well, that can get routine. And that can sometimes lull us into a sense of where we're just kind of going through the motions. Oh, yeah, they're reading the steps again. They're reading the principles again. There's dinner again, whatever. And so I want us to take time as we get into the teaching tonight to settle ourselves and to just commit to what does God have for you in this lesson on forgiveness tonight. And it's a big issue. I kind of think of it as the cornerstone of one's recovery. Because if you can't forgive and you can't engage in all aspects of forgiveness as we talk about them tonight, you're likely not going to be successful at your recovery walk. You will miss out on an amazing relationship with God, or what it really fully can be, and you'll miss out on restoring and relationships in your own life, and maybe even forming new ones. And so that's how important it is. John Baker, the founder of Celebrate Recovery, writes this about forgiveness. He says, "The inability to accept and to offer forgiveness can block, stall, or even destroy your recovery." So that's how important he thought it was. And facing your past and forgiving yourself and those who've hurt you and making amends, which we talked about in the last teaching, for the pain that you have maybe caused others, is in order to move past that, or to move into that, or to be able to move through that, forgiveness is required. And forgiveness breaks that cycle of that a lot of times we can get ourselves in. Now, it doesn't settle all the questions. It doesn't settle who's to blame. It doesn't settle issues of justice or fairness. And sometimes we get tied up in that. We think, I'm not going to forgive because that's not the right thing to do, or they did this or whatever. And that's not what it's about. But it does allow relationships to heal and to possibly even start over again. And so we'll kind of start there and end there tonight with that idea of starting over. So let's go ahead and dive right in to this crucial part of your recovery, as John Baker says. So we're going to be looking at principle 6 and steps 8 and 9. And so I'm going to put those up on the board. Principle 6, I'm going to read that for you. Evaluate all my relationships. Offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me and make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. And the beatitude that goes with that, or beatitudes, happy are the merciful, Matthew 5:7, happy are the peacemakers, Matthew 5:9. Step 8, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Scripture, Luke 6:31, do to others as you would have them do to you. And step 9, I think is in this lesson. We made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Therefore, Matthew 5:23-24 tells us, if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Okay, so that's the importance that God puts on forgiveness. He wants you to go out and forgive before you come to him, type thing. So that's where those are kind of going to undergird the teaching, as I say, most of the time when I'm up here. Let me return to that quote from John Baker. The inability to accept and offer forgiveness can block, stall, or even destroy our recovery. Now, notice that it does not say, he doesn't say to accept or offer, it's accept and offer. Both pieces are part of the forgiveness process in your life. And I tend to associate the act of forgiving with just the offering part. I need to give forgiveness, not about accepting it from others, not about accepting maybe God's forgiveness of me. And so we're going to be talking about both the offering and the accepting part. So we're going to be, as I said, looking at both tonight. In addition to looking at forgiveness from both the offering and accepting standpoints, I believe there's an order to how one needs to move through the steps of forgiveness, if you will. And they're a little bit different than what's on your worksheet. And I kind of use John Baker's quote in another one I'll give you a little bit later on to rearrange this order. But we're going to be talking about, so I believe the first step is you need to get in touch with God's forgiveness of you. Until you do that, you are not going to be able to do the second step, which is to forgive yourself. And then finally, so those two things, receiving and maybe offering and receiving when you're talking about forgiving yourself. And then finally, you make step three, which is to go out and to forgive others. And I think that you need to do it in that order to be fully prepared to both offer and receive forgiveness. So as I said, I think that I tend to think of forgiveness as only that third step, forgiving, offering forgiveness to others. But that step is actually last, as you saw in our order tonight. And if you think about it, we see that order in step five in CR, where it talks about we look at admitted to God. So there's God first, like accepting God's forgiveness, ourselves, forgiving ourselves in that step, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. So when we're in that step. And so that order of God, self, and others, we see at other places in CR. The point is we must start with God and ourselves first before we move on to others. And this is true of any number of things, I think, in our faith walk. You might have heard that phrase, before you talk to others about God, you need to talk to God about others. In other words, you need to pray. If you're going to go out and share the gospel, let's say, you need to be talking to God first about that, not just running out and talking to other folks about that. And same kind of idea here. So once again, to quote John Baker, just to kind of validate why I've kind of rearranged that, he says, in fact, I believe we must forgive ourselves before we can honestly forgive others. If you have not forgiven yourself, your forgiveness to others may be superficial, incomplete, or done for the wrong motives. In other words, if you go into a situation where you're going to forgive somebody else and you're still hanging on to, yeah, but I'm waiting for them to then say they're sorry, or I'm waiting for them to admit all the wrongs, or I'm going to use this as a way to launch into then attack. I forgive you, but attack. You know, that can happen. Even though you really may not intend it to be. So you really need to be in the right place. It's similar to what Daniel taught as far as amends when we talked about the end, not for them. We don't go and make the amends in looking for something out of that. Okay, same thing with forgiveness. All right, so let's flesh out the three steps. Here we go. Start with the first one, most important. Have you accepted God's forgiveness? Came across a quote from Warren Wiersbe. I love this when he talks about God's forgiveness. He's a pastor. Says forgiveness is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performs. It meets the greatest need. It cost the greatest price, and it brings the greatest blessing and the most lasting results. Powerful stuff. And if you think about God's forgiveness of you, it does all of that. And it did cost God dearly for him to offer us the forgiveness that he does. Romans 3:22 through 25, I think we have that as in your scriptures there, if I can find mine here. H1 on the other side, I stapled it there. There we go. God puts people right through their faith in Jesus Christ. God does this to all who believe in Christ because there is no difference at all. Everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence. But the free gift of God's grace, or by the free gift of God's grace, they are put right with him through Jesus Christ, who sets them free God offered him, Jesus, so that by his sacrificial death, he should become the means by which people's sins are forgiven through their faith in him. That's a much more wordy way of saying what he says later on in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ. So that idea. So that's that gift that God has given us. Our relationship with God is not based on what we can do for him, but what he has done for us. We were separated from him in sin and were due to pay the price for that sin. Instead, he sent his son to take on all of that sin and be sacrificed on our behalf, therefore paying that price. So we had no relationship with him. The relationship was broken because of that sin. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, that relationship is restored. The free gift of God is his son taking on my sin, your sin, all sin, and accepting that due penalty of his death on our behalf so that we could be forgiven by a just and holy God. By God's grace, we have been saved. And I've said this before up here. I love a definition I heard of the word grace is aggressive forgiveness. And when you think about God's grace, how unimaginably large it is. I like that. Aggressive forgiveness. I want to be the type of person that practices that type of grace in my life. Only when you have accepted this act of aggressive forgiveness, this act of grace into your heart, are you ready to move on to the second step in forgiveness. So you've got to get yourself right with God. You've got to get a clear understanding of that. So then the second kind of forgiveness is forgiving yourself. Forgiving yourself. If you've not forgiven yourself, your forgiveness to others may be superficial or incomplete, as John Baker said, or done for the wrong motives. Self-forgiveness is not a matter of assigning the blame to someone else or letting yourself off the hook. It's not a license for irresponsibility. Okay, I forgive myself, I messed up, and then you just keep doing it. You should be mourning those things, but you need to forgive yourself. It is simply an acknowledgement that you are human, like everybody else, and that you've done, or that you've reached the stage in your recovery at which you're able to give yourself greater respect. Give yourself that aggressive forgiveness. God forgave you. It seems kind of goofy that if the creator of the universe says, I forgive you, and I did something amazing to make that happen, that you could then sit there and say, yeah, but you know, you're God, but I'm me, I can't forgive me. You need to follow God's lead on this, okay? We have some scripture that goes with this. I think Isaiah, come, let us talk this over, says the Lord, no matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you're stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool if you will only let me help you. Once again, God reaffirming that he's done this. You need to do this in your heart. Romans 8:1, remember, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You're not guilty. So you need to accept God's forgiveness, accept Jesus' work on the cross, then, even if you have to put it in that perspective, as soon as you start going down that road of what I've done is unforgivable, I can't be, well, then you're not getting it. Then you're saying Jesus died for nothing. Okay, don't say that. So you get the fact that he died for your sins. Okay, he's forgiven you. So now you need to follow suit. Even if you just got to say, like many things in our lives where you say, God, I trust you on this one. You forgive me. I think, there are many times I think, man, I don't know what God's doing here. That's not the way Jack would do it. And that's the whole point, of course. But I don't understand things like that level of forgiveness. But I need to follow his lead and I need to do it because I know that he has my best interest in mind. And I know that he did go to a great extent in order to forgive me. Okay, so we do that. We get ourselves right in that perspective. And then we're ready to go on to step three, or forgiving others. Offering forgiveness to others can look one of two ways: forgiving others in our hearts and our minds. And so this is a forgiveness that takes place in our heart, but we don't verbally necessarily go and forgive someone. It might not be safe to do so. We might not be able to do so. Perhaps the person is deceased. Okay, but we get our heart in the right place to almost say that if it was safe, if they were alive, I would be able to come to them and forgive them. Okay, extend that forgiveness to them. Many times I hear of people writing a letter to somebody that they're never going to mail. Maybe it won't even go anywhere because if the person's dead. But they get that down just to get their heart in check. So that's one way, forgiving others in our hearts and minds. The second one is what we mostly think of, is we verbally do it. We offer our forgiveness in person to another individual. Obviously, you want to pray and ask God which of those situations is right for you as you go through kind of thinking about, okay, who do you need to forgive in your life? And this takes us to a kind of an aside here. If you've been a victim of sexual abuse, of physical abuse, of childhood emotional abuse or neglect, this idea of forgiveness can be pretty dicey. But I'm here to tell you that you're not going to find the peace that you want and the freedom that you need from those perpetrators until you are able to forgive them. Please remember that forgiving them in no way excuses them for the harm that they caused you, but it will release you from the power that they have had over you. And so CR has rewritten steps 8 and 9 of the 12 steps for those that struggle with or have suffered abuse. And they read this. Step 8 says, make a list of all persons who have harmed us and become willing to seek God's help in forgiving our perpetrators, as well as forgiving ourselves. Realize we've also harmed others and become willing to make amends to them. Many times that abuse has led us to either be abusers or led us to make bad choices. And so we need to own that piece, but we also need to offer forgiveness for those folks. And step 9, extend forgiveness to ourselves and to others who have perpetrated against us, realizing this is an attitude of the heart, not always a confrontation, not always an interaction that you will have. Make direct amends when it is safe, asking forgiveness from those people we have harmed, except when to do so would injure them or others. So we kind of keep to that. I've heard that, I think we've used this example before, that not offering forgiveness is kind of like, or it's kind of like being in a tug of war, where you've got two people pulling on the rope. You're pulling on one end, the other person's pulling on the other end. That's that person you don't want to forgive because, gosh darn it, they wronged you. You've got principles, whatever thing that you just, I can't forgive them. So you guys keep having this tug of war. Forgiveness means you let go of the rope, okay? And I know you're thinking you'll let go of the rope and they're going to fall, and that's, get them, because they're going to fall on themselves. It's not because you do that. It's because you are now free. You're not playing the game anymore. You're not a prisoner of that tug of war. You've released it. And many times when we get our heart in a position of true forgiveness, you will have a sense of physical relief that you feel, a weight lifted from you, a freedom in your heart and in your soul, because it's from God. Many times there's no possible way you could do it without God, and yet it's the right thing to do. You've just freed yourself. And so that's how important it is. And so to kind of summarize, forgiveness is more than just forgiving others. It starts with accepting God's grace, accepting God's aggressive forgiveness of us. That should also be empowering to you. That's why I say it has to be first. And even in your handout there, it's first as well. Because that has to happen. But then we need to move into taking his lead and forgiving ourselves so that we become healthy. We become able to move into a situation, which is step 3, which is actually offering forgiveness to others. We do it with the correct motivation. We do it with a pure heart. We do it without strings attached. But that only comes with that work that we do with ourselves and God beforehand. As the reality of being forgiven by God who created us finally sinks in, we move on to that place, as I mentioned, of being able to forgive ourselves. For you know, really, how can you not when you think about it? I know sometimes it's kind of difficult because we always have an exception. Yeah, but I'm special. Yeah, but I did this. Yeah, but. And God knows all that stuff. And God still is coming after you. He's still got your heart. He still died for you. Then and only then, as I say, are we ready to extend that same aggressive forgiveness to others. And so as you take the necessary steps to forgive, of forgiveness, you're going to discover that you're letting go of that guilt and shame, that you're able to say, I'm not perfect, but God and I are working on me. And I still fall down, but with my Savior self, I can get back up, brush myself off, and I can try again. And you've heard me say before, I forgive, and then it seems like I relapse and unforgive that person, and I have to re-forgive, you know, because my wicked heart brings up, oh yeah, but, or I think I'm over this hurt or whatever, and then I realize, nope, I haven't done quite enough work yet. I'm not quite there. And so that's a process. That's not weird. You haven't failed. That's perfectly normal. The key is you don't give up. You don't just say, well, then that person is unforgivable. This situation is unforgivable. I am unforgivable. You don't go there. You just continue to persevere. Last thing I'll say is remember, when you forgive yourself and others, you do not change the past. I don't think we want to be under false assumptions. You do not change the past, but you most certainly can change the future. And so I encourage you to forgive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for that aggressive forgiveness. Thank you for that grace. Thank you for making it possible for us to unburden ourselves of anger and guilt and shame and resentment. Thank you for leading the way and showing us how we can restore relationships. And God, because of what you did, we don't have to send a child to their death. Thank you for modeling how forgiveness looks, for continually forgiving us as we fall, as we come back to you. Thank you for continuing to pursue us in your grace and in your forgiveness. Lord, I ask that you just continue to press upon our hearts, our minds, this idea of forgiving. And I ask that as we you know, leave this room tonight and we get into our small groups, regardless of what the focus question is, that we really think about who do we need to forgive? Maybe we're not even there yet. Maybe, Lord, we need to accept your forgiveness. And I pray that if there's anybody in this room tonight that has not done that, that they take time this evening to do that. They take time to accept what you have done on the cross, that you have cleansed all our sins for all time, that we are still in the presence of sin, Lord, but you have killed its power to kill us eternally. And Lord, as we get that, I also ask that you press upon anybody in the room tonight that's feeling that they have done something that's unforgivable, that they can't forgive themselves. I ask that you put on them that they start with themselves. You made it so. We're worth it. You've proven that. And finally, Lord, give us all the power to be forgiving people, to pursue those relationships that are broken or not quite right, to do it with a correct heart, to do it only if it's safe, obviously, Lord. But give us the strength to forgive. We love you, Lord. Amen.